Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Good afternoon. It looks like we are missing our intro, which I'm going to play for you right now. I don't know what happened.
Been running through me like you got somewhere to be. You're stuck in a full-time daydream. Always in a rush, I know you're busy for lunch. Taking pictures of your coffee. Cold feet on the gas, I've been driving too fast. Chasing you down like shots of vodka. Every night I'm in bed, you're just a name in my head. And I say it like it's my mantra.
Yes, we do. We all go running around and around and around. And now we're going to stop running around for a while, sit back and relax, and listen and enjoy the moment. Yes, this is our official band that provides all the music for Tippy Talk. Is Newborn. If you have not heard of them yet, you will, because they're on the brink of exploding into a world-renowned band. And if you want to hear more of the music, you can go to newbornband.com and enjoy the wonderful sounds. And now it's time to step into the Sippy Zone, where we explore the other side of reality, the side that allows you to reshape your life, to step into your power, and to connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tippy Talk. My name is Tippy Feldenstein, and I am dedicated to explore a life that is lived with clarity, confidence, control, and awareness. Tippy Talk is where you go from where you are to where you want to be. Yes, it is. And we are here again today, all excited with a brand new show and a brand new guest. Today's guest is Claudio Morgan, and or Morgan, depending on what accent you have. And he is a published author of two novels. We're going to talk today about one of the novels called The Water Entanglement, which I love because I have been doing a lot of studies about water, and there's some fascinating facts that I think you might find really interesting. The other book that he wrote is called The Decadence of Our Souls, and we will be talking about that in a later date, so stay tuned and follow Tippy Talk so that you will find out when we're going to talk about that. And believe me, you want to hear about it because there's a lot of important lessons in that book and within that novel, actually. Those are two novels. The Decadence of Souls is about how to become a better human being. And it's through meditation, introspection, faith. And if you want to become a better human being, this might be a really great book for you. But the book we're going to talk today about is the book called The Water Entanglement. And this is the novel with the scenario of what would happen if water woke up and started punishing us. And that's a very, very interesting scenario. Claudio Morgan was born in Romania, and he currently lives in Canada. But today he's right here on Tippy Talk with us. I'd like to welcome Claudio. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Tippy. Thank you very much. I'm honored to be on your show.
Well, we are so happy and excited that you're here today because you have two fantastic books that I really want to talk about. But even more than that, the books that you wrote are novels. And I understand the great idea of putting your values, your thoughts, your studies into consciousness of people through a novel. I think that's fantastic, and I don't think that a lot of people do that really well. But the fact that you were able to take what you wanted to teach people and put it within a novel format, I think it's a huge accomplishment. I just wanted to ask you how long it took you to do that.
Water Entanglement took me less than a year to write, just because I was coming after 2.5 years of writing The Decadence of All Souls. I was quite excited about the subject. The editor of the first book was a limnologist, a close friend, Nina Montano, who wrote about water, a couple of books about water, in fact. And I kind of rubbing shoulders with her gave me the idea of taking water and turning into a life character. I just don't use water as a background for my novel, but I used also the concept from quantum physics, water, that's called entanglement, and combined with the idea that we are pillaging the earth and we don't care about what we are doing to the earth, and as a result, climate change is creeping in. I said, okay, water will wake up and it will change in its structure in various places on earth, and she will attack us. I use she, because again, I'm very used and fond to water. I want her to be that character in my book and kind of give the weight of the plot. At one point, because we are not taking care of Earth, we are not paying attention to the signals and the signs sent to us by, you know, water phenomena and everything else that's going on around us, water wakes up. And she said, guys, enough is enough. You really have to scale back on your activities, your damaging activities, or I'll keep punishing you through, you know, tornadoes of higher intensity, hurricanes, worse than what you've seen before. You know, I'm going to make you not be able to touch the water. I'm going to create all kinds of events which will make you pay attention. So I work with molecular structure of water and messages, which also came to me through the readings of Masaru Emoto, another scientist who work with water.
So I think it's a fantastic idea to bring water to life. I really think it's amazing. I would have never thought of it myself, but it is a fantastic idea. But the truth is, and that's on a fictional level, but the truth is that I've been reading a lot about water structure and how if you take a cup of water and you play beautiful music, the molecular structure of the water will actually change. And when you play really stressful things around the water, it will change also. So maybe water is more alive than we even realize. Is that what gave you the idea, or was it something that you started writing and then you found out about that? How did that come about?
I knew about this ahead of time. And then I mentioned Masaru Emoto, who was kind of the initiator of this type of research. Recently, I interviewed Carly Nudai, who is a scientist, and she has a PhD in a couple of fields, and she wrote Water Codes, and I learned a lot from her as well. Water has memory, and through its crystalline structure, water retains a lot of information, and we have what is called structured or bio-water in our bodies, and this is what gives us, it's our health. As long as we keep our water a certain level of structuring, we are healthy. We can still be young. The moment the water starts to destructure, this is where the aging process begins, and we see it on our bodies, on our skin, on the way we feel. Drink from the faucet is pretty much dead water. It goes so much through the piping system and the water municipal treatment facilities that it doesn't have any life to it. That's why people use the reverse osmosis systems, because they can put the minerals back into it. But still, we never hurt to, you know, say a short prayer before you drink the water, or tell the water that you love her, or show some gratitude. That the water's molecular structure will change, and then you can drink that water with the new with its new properties.
Oh, I think that's fantastic. I think that it's a great idea, besides, to not only bless the water, but also before you drink the water, be grateful that you have water to drink, because what if we didn't have water? You said something about that our biology is made out of water. How much percentage of our body is actually water?
When we are born, we are close to 90%, and then as we age, we are down to anywhere between 65 to 70%, you know. Various scientists have different opinion, but anywhere between 60 to 70% when after age of 35 or something like that. And as we age, we are really dehydrating our bodies, so we have to drink more water.
So would it help if we drink more water? And is there a way to restore the body's water back to the same percentage that it was when we were born?
I'm not sure about that incipient levels of, you know, 90%, but while talking to Carly about the fact that can we maintain our molecular structure, I mean, water's molecular structure in a perfect shape if we have a consistent meditation schedule, praying schedule, introspection schedule, so then on a daily basis. And she confirmed that indeed it's hard in this environment where everything is, we are bombarded with all kinds of information and news, and you know, our schedules are crazy. If we really want to, it is possible to,
it is,
you know,
possible.
Meditation. Yeah, it is possible to maintain or reverse our destructuring molecular water molecular structure. Yes, we can reverse, maintain and reverse, but we really have to be committed to this type of exercise.
I think it would be great to have a third book of just showing people how to restore their body, or just basically restructure it, because you point out the problem. I mean, it would be nice to have a solution, don't you think?
It's pretty much, it was determined that our mind can do anything we can think of. And healing ourselves is part of the process. So we can heal diseases. We can heal, in the end, the water in our bodies. And there are different studies done by Dr. Joe Dispenza, which through, again, a specific breathing exercise and process, you can really enhance your brain capacity. And if you focus on certain areas, you open up energy channels in your body along the spine, and that triggers the healing process in your body, also affecting the water in your body in a positive way, of course.
That's a great idea. I would definitely love to do that. You mentioned before that we drink dead water. The water that gets to us through the pipes, through the system, is usually dead water. What do you think of distilled water?
It's better, but again, there is a process of decomposing the water molecule when it's being kind of electrocuted, if I can say so. And again, the opinions vary based on research and everyone's I know that Kangen water is one of the latest discoveries, and the pH can vary based on the the settings of the device. And there were tests done on people with brain issues and brain trauma, and they recovered after using this type of water, but again was combined with other type of treatments. And you cannot say 100% it was just the water or it was just the treatment. Myself, I had some, nodules on my thyroid, and I just follow it. I took some supplements for 6 months, but at the same time, I meditated and I prayed for 6 months. And I can tell you that those, they were gone. They were gone. And when I went back for another scan, they thought that the device is broken. And they called me for the second time because they just couldn't believe that the nodules were gone. So anything is possible if you really believe that you can heal yourself, if you believe that your mind can achieve things which a normal person doesn't think it's possible. We really have to stretch our minds and think that we are more than just a body. We have energy. We are energy, in fact, and vibration. And like in any other environment, we saw that healing is through tuning forks, because the vibration and the frequency heals various diseases. We really, really have to investigate how we can move a little bit or even more from the existing medical system, which is mainly based on chemicals, and some of them help, especially if you need very detailed and specialized treatment or surgery. But, you know, when we talk about chemotherapy or something like this, which destroys your immune system, one rather looks at other alternative options. At least this is my opinion.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I think a lot of people agree with it. I think the studies are still coming in, but for sure it's an important subject because water is such a big percentage of our life. How did you bring the climate change idea into the water entanglement?
It's pretty much the main point of the book, because water again and the environment and planet Earth cannot take it anymore. And they really tell us, pay attention, stop the, you know, oil spills, stop the fracking, stop the carbon-based technologies and everything you are, and coal-based technologies, everything you are doing. Stop depleting the aquifers. Be much more aware and do it in a sustainable way. There are technologies out there which can create this type of environment where pollution can be diminished in a very high percentage, but there is no political will to apply them. There are so many interests and so much greed and so much, you know, instant gratification that there is no political desire for these technologies to be brought forward. I mean, look at Tesla. He was able to produce free energy 100 years ago, and J.P. Morgan, because he was controlling the copper industry, realized that he cannot make any money anymore, and he destroyed everything just to keep making money. So even today, I mean, electric cars were not invented 10 years ago, 15 years ago. Electric engines were developed a long, long time ago. There are engines which run on water these days. But again, no one is interested in bringing these technologies forward because of certain interests. There is no more control and no more power over masses, over us. So we all know these things. Some of us are willing to talk about them. Some of us not. But at one point, this will come forward and will be, common knowledge, and will be part of our daily life.
So in the novel, The Water Entanglement, the idea is that the water wakes up and becomes conscious and aware of what's going on. And the water is just really horrified at what people have done. Describe how, I think it's a great book, and I think people don't understand the idea of how fascinating it is and how over overwhelming and consuming it is if water would actually wake up, because our planet is more water than land anyway, on a planetary basis. And there's so much water everywhere that we don't really even realize that. So describe how the water wakes up and says, oh, this is disgusting, I've got to do something about it.
I look at sacred rivers and sacred sites in the world. So two of them are on Jordan River and another one on the Ganges at Varanasi. People go and bath, and they are, you know, they show their faith and they pray. They clean themselves when they enter these waters. So the idea was that, okay, the molecular structure of the water will change and it will affect the people who, even if they think they believe, they are not fully immersed into spirituality, and under spirituality, not religion. And especially at Varanasi, there are two sages which are not affected by this water changes. Everyone else, his skin is being burned. They try to run, to come out of water, you know, they are being treated. But two particular sages, they are in their 70s, they are not affected because they are in a state of transcendence and state of bliss where they still have faith. The water in the water of the Ganges senses that they are not trying to harm the water in any way. They haven't harmed the water in their lifetime, and they are really again in a state of bliss and transcendence, which is in accordance and in the same frequency with the water. And again, when people are being infused with, there are, you know, a couple of tests being done with the blood from these sages in transfused into a guy who pretends that he also has faith and he's willing to go back into the water. Because what happens is that the moment you have the transfusion done with the blood of these sages, which is a special blood, you know, special molecular structure, that guy's blood and water, body's water molecular structure is supposed to take on to that pure structure as well. But the moment he tries to step into the water, fear overcomes him. So again, he's not willing to, he doesn't have that full faith, that he's not fully on the spiritual path in order to be at the level of the sages. So we all have that fear inside us that we are not capable of, you know, overcoming certain things we encounter in our lives. And this is the kind of the symbolism through water awakening and how it affects us on a daily basis. Also, another aspect of the book is about the indigenous people of North America. And I'm talking about U.S., Canada, Hawaii. And they are the water keepers, especially the women in these tribes. And they are the water keepers. They know how to talk to water. They know how to value water. They know how to value the environment. And it is my belief that we have so much to learn from the indigenous people, but instead we are kind of decimating them. We are polluting their lands. We don't listen to them. And this happened in Australia as well. It happens in Hawaii. And that's why I bring this issue forward, and it's coming more and more on the news these days. And I take it farther into the sequel of Water Entanglement, which is called Crystal Cloud. Because the story in Water Entanglement also touches on crystals. I use the combination of water and crystals, pure structures which are created by, you know, by divinity, by God, through Earth. So water filters to crystals, and the crystal, with the information which was stored in the water, heals people. And again, one of the spiritual leaders of Hawaii is being hurt at a conference, and a neurosurgeon, which is one of the main characters in the book, brings him back, again, through water, which was preyed upon and filtered to the crystal. And he is healed, he's back on his feet, ready to continue the fight with industrial complex and the chemical companies polluting the island of Hawaii.
Wow. So it sounds really deep. Like, it's like when you go swimming in the deep ocean, the mysteries that the water brings as you go deeper and deeper and deeper into the water, it seems like your book is the same way. It kind of like wakes up and then you go deeper and deeper into the idea of how water can kill you and nurture you and do everything at the same time, or lack of water or bad water versus really good water and perfectly molecular structured water. That's really fascinating to me. Did you write the book to a specific person, to a specific type of person? Like, who specifically would benefit the most out of reading this book?
I think it has a large audience. The book doesn't have that much science, so maybe a scientist or knowledges like my friend might not find too much joy in the book, just because I didn't load it with science. Crystal Cloud has more science than matter entanglement. High school students can find some interesting facts about water, and then they can take it further through their own research. You know, water activists can read the book and enjoy it, because I talk about Water for All conference, which brought together NGOs and nonprofits and even UN Water under the same umbrella, talking about viable projects, either they are related to remediation or pollution prevention. These are solutions which I also offer in the book. So it doesn't have a specific audience, but anyone can find something interesting for their own taste.
Basically, you're saying that you have a really wide range of people from 16 years old up to anyone. It's very interesting, because I met someone a few weeks ago that was basically dedicating his life to bringing water to this little town of Africa where he came from, when they did not have good drinking water. And he was going around all over the world looking for people who would want to donate and send water to that town. And I think he did really good. But then he felt that he shouldn't stop in his little town. He should expand it to other little tribes that may not have water in that area, which basically they're experiencing what you say in your book, no water to drink. You know, water just receded and left them completely. That's a very interesting scenario also. So if somebody wants to get a copy of your book, or if somebody wants to ask you a couple of questions, where can they get you?
They can find more information on my website, claudiemorgan.com. Both books are on Amazon in various formats, from audio to PDF to ebook or hard copy. They can listen to all my previous interviews also on my website under the media section. Crystal Cloud will be out in August or September, so I have to see exactly to determine the date. I'm taking a long trip for my own, you know, spiritual path, and when I come back, I will decide on the date when the book will be launched. And they can reach me at claudio@claudiemorgan.com through my website, or directly by email.
Yeah, I'm looking at your website. It's Claudio, and I want to spell it out for people who may not know. It's claudiomurgan.com. And you can basically go through the pages of the book, and you'll pretty much get everything that you might want to get. Absolutely. Is there a way that they can contact you through this website too?
Yes. I have a contact form on the main page.
On the homepage?
And also, and if we have 30 seconds, I would like to read one paragraph from the back cover.
Totally. Go for it.
Since the creation of Earth, water and crystals have weaved their path into a billion-year-long tapestry that has captured the cycles of nature's evolution. It has observed the appearance of humans and their troubled but fascinating development, and the energies and vibrations of everything that is of this amazing ecosystem. And by the way, the plot starts in 2055 in Toronto. and from there spread all over the world. Thank you, Titi.
From 2055 in Toronto. Wonder who else might be in Toronto. Yeah, it's nice. I love Toronto. It's a beautiful place. I was there. I think my cousin was. They got married. That was the last time I drove there from New York. It took us about 8 hours. Have you ever done that drive? It's beautiful.
No, only flying directly to New York.
Ah, yeah, you can always fly. Definitely fly. Thank you so much. This has been really amazing. I love books, and I love books that have more than just a story. And your story has a backstory, and it deals with a lot of different issues, especially before we go. I really want to know where you stand with this climate change and what we should do about it.
There are so many initiatives all over the world, even, you know, United Nations has its own initiatives. But I think we have to find political will. From my point of view, political will is the most important thing we can have. When presidents of all three countries deny climate change or try to stop people from expressing their ideas regarding climate change, then that's very dangerous. When you open up more national parks for oil and gas exploration, that's dangerous. When you disregard the decimation of old forests in the Amazon, that's very dangerous as well. They don't think long term. They just have big egos, and they play with they play along the big corporations, and that's pretty much the old story which we've seen in the past, and we keep encountering every day. Sad, because we're going to reach a point where we have very few old forests left in the world. The rivers, the mighty rivers, will be just a trickle, and then we'll wonder how we got there. So it's sad.
So what do you think that we should do about it right now? Besides the initiatives that everybody has, like, what would you personally like to see in a perfect world happen right now?
We have to stop deforestation. That's one thing. We have to stop depleting the aquifers through bottling water and selling it to other countries for big bucks. Just implement technologies which can help those countries create and generate their own water. Implement all the existing renewable technologies. People should look into a book called Drawdown by Paul Hawkins, if I'm correct. He presents 100 existing technologies which have been implemented in various stages all over the world. This is not science fiction. This is not something in the future. This is reality which anyone can implement. Buy that book, read it, give it to your member of parliament or your congressman, educate them. These guys are not educated. They are just listening to fake reports done by oil and gas corporation, by any lobby company which also is paid big bucks. So try to educate yourself and educate those which you elected, and only then we can start seeing things change.
Thank you. That's nice too. I think that coming together with a lot of people talking about all kinds of different ideas and different things, that the world is waking up, the world is getting educated, and we are taking steps towards a better world. And I think the best way to do it is one person waking up at a time. And the way that you wake up and the way that you treat your surrounding environment basically spread from one person to the other. It's almost like you put a match and you light a fire, and then all of a sudden you have an entire blaze everywhere and everybody awakening. So thank you so much for waking up and for writing this book. I think that we will come back and talk about your other book if you would like. And I would like to get feedback from you guys out there listening either in the morning, in the afternoon, or at night right now for you, and let us know what you think of this book. So go out and get Water Entanglement by Claudia Morgan. You can get it on Amazon, easiest way to go, or anywhere else, and give me feedback. And you can email me at tippytalkshow@gmail.com, or you can just go to tippytalkshow.com and contact me that way, whichever one that you think is better for you. Claudio, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you so much for that wonderful work that you've done. I really appreciate you. I'd like to wish you a wonderful journey. And
thank you, TP. And the one thing, if people want to hear more about the environment and various opinions for leaders and educators, you can go to ageofwater.ca. It's a podcast which I launched in November with a friend of mine, Nina Montano. And again, you can educate yourself and educate those who make decisions on your behalf. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You've been listening to Tippy Talk. My name is Tippy Feldenstein, and we have been talking today to Claudio Morgan, author of 2 books, and so much more. Thank you, everyone, and enjoy your day. Have a magical journey, and let your talent be your potion.
Your heart.